If they're doing it, then they don't know they're doing it, which would be par for the course. I'm going to get to the calls here in a second. You said you were looking online and people are just mad at everything we say today?
Yeah, it seems like there's like this four-way competition turned into a bizarre four-way competition among the fans that I guess every time there's a quarterback competition kind of fractures the fans a little bit. But because there were four teams this year, you have everybody pretty much telling you it's not going to be a big season for you. They're monitoring what Nick Chubb is doing in Houston. They're monitoring what Travis Hunter is doing in Jacksonville. And for whatever reason, like we, no matter what videos, you know, our boss puts out or our video guy, Joey's doing a terrific job.
Mm-hmm.
Like I don't know. I looked at the videos that were put out today. I looked at the conversations we were having. I looked at the headlines. I don't know why you're taking out frustrations with Shador or Dylan Gabriel or how they're being handled or the fact that we told you the start of the show, literally 6:01. Well, quarterback competition's probably over. It's going to be Joe Flacco. Why are you taking that out on us? What kind of news are we conveying that is the problem here?
Well, what are they
where
saying?
Where are we off base?
What's being said about me right now? I'm not on social media right
everything,
now.
Everything revolving Shador. Like, I don't understand. And the only argument we got in about Shador is how big of a story it is. I said this has been nowhere near the Manziel circus from day one. Like when Manziel was here, it was national media. They were renting houses in Northeast Ohio to cover him every day.
Mm-hmm.
That hasn't been the case at all for Shador. We can be honest about that, right? Like you did say, to your credit, like that's coming this week because of the Pro Football Hall of Fame. But yeah. I think that's going to be more of a check-in. Let's check in and see. Is he still fourth string? Well, because of the Pickett injury, he's not going to be fourth. Is he going to be third? Is he actually being given a chance to start? If he's not really being given a chance to start, if he's not even going up against the ones or playing with the ones, then the Shador thing's not even a conversation anymore, right?
I'm not being disrespectful to Shador Sanders. At least I'm not trying to be.
No, not.
Who's being disrespectful to him?
Me and you have both said, like, if he starts to shine and be truly special, I do think there hasn't been much of a chance for that at all.
Is everybody's problem?
Look at how few passes these guys are all throwing.
What's everybody's problem then?
They're going to have to call in and let me know because I don't understand what we're missing here.
What are we missing? I don't know. I'm asking you questions you don't even know. So I'm not trying to start arguments with you. I don't know what on earth we could be missing. What I'm saying is I think is common sense. You have Joe Flacco to start out the season. Are they mad that we're just saying that Joe Flacco starts out the season and that's it?
I think probably that's part of it.
The show has come to a conclusion that Joe Flacco is going to be the starter to start the season, and then that's it.
I do think, like, Dan Orlovsky,
unless Kenny's not that hurt.
We played that audio very early in the show about Orlovsky, and it was from, what, the end of last week or whatever, and I know our weekend shows did a great job reacting to, is it a wasted... Are we wasting time? Any throw that Joe Flacco makes in a regular season game, any start that he makes,
well, now I'm going to get mad.
Is that a waste of time?
Do you want to play that clip 02, by the way? Now, I don't mean to put you on the spot. When you got it ready, go ahead and get it here. Because I might, if we're just going on what Dan Orlovsky says about it, then I will get mad about it. Here's Dan Orlovsky on with the guys. Excuse me, we don't have that ready yet. We'll get it. It's okay. We'll get it when you get it.
Here we go.
All right, here we go.
Dan Orlovsky.
And both of them would be the rookies. I would be doing everything if I was Cleveland to see if one of those two kids I drafted could be a starter this year. And then you have the opportunity to evaluate, is he a starting quarterback or is he not a starting quarterback? Is he a starting quarterback that we can win games with? Because then that maybe changes the way you view those two first-round picks for next year.
Audio courtesy of the Fan on the afternoon show. That's Dan Orlovsky of ESPN. Now, I don't want to go too crazy because I told you about the irresponsibility that I think that people are getting when it comes to the rookies. We got to see this. We got to see that. It's the Browns. I don't need to see anything. They're as desperate as it gets. But did we not just talk to Daryl 40 minutes ago? And Daryl said that he believes that they're preparing Dylan Gabriel to play at some point this season. Why does it have to be now? Why does it have to be as soon as possible? Guys, have we not learned the lesson so many times over and over again through how many different training camps or how many quote-unquote competitions? Have we not learned our lesson? Did we not go through this with DeShone Kizer? Kenny's the best quarterback on the roster. There's a difference between the best and the most ready. And Joe Flacco would be the most ready. Kenny Pickett arguably would be the second most ready. Okay? If it were just Kenny in those guys, hey, maybe you'd have an argument. Maybe you wouldn't. Maybe it would just be Kenny with a bullet. Because now, with the injury with Kenny, I think it's just Joe with a bullet. You got four different guys. Now you have three. That's still a lot of reps to share. It's still a longer preseason, even though you only have three games instead of four. You have plenty of joint practices to start to get some of that figured out. They're not just going to be going and doing everything you want them to do and just giving you a look. They're going to work on certain things together, absolutely. But there's going to be more competition. So I would be shocked, if Dillon Gabriel or Shedeur Sanders, either of them, were to be in a position to start in the first three games of the season at all, unless there was an injury.
Well, they're going to have a joint practice with Carolina next Wednesday,
yes,
right?
Yes.
And originally, before Kenny Pickett got hurt, it was going to be Joe and Kenny, right? They're getting all those joint practice reps. Well, now we're reevaluating Kenny at the end of this week. So he's not doing joint practice. So now one of those two rookies is going to get snaps in a joint practice that they weren't going to get before. It was not happening. And now the door is starting to open for whichever one it is to at least show against real NFL talent, not the four string guys, that they have what it takes to be a quarterback that starts in the NFL.
So if you think that the Browns don't know what the hell they're looking at, okay, fine. Fine. That's, you can be mad at the Browns all you want, but I'm just telling you how things are looking right now. They really like Dillon Gabriel from the head up. We'll see if he can become a bigger body, but I don't care. I don't know, and we'll probably find out different from that.
Is there anything, Kenny, like, you know, depending on the year, and I've probably waffled a little bit on this, depending on kind of what the NFL was doing. I know Copycat League, and they all signed kind of, you know, like obviously with Sean McVay says, hey, we're not going to play our guys in the preseason, and everybody basically discards preseason. So whatever, I get it. These things kind of ebb and flow. But is there no such thing anymore as a strategy to nurture a quarterback? Because what fans are just saying is, throw them out there. Well, then do you even need coaches anymore? Like if that's just the answer, throw the guys out there, then you don't truly believe that players can be developed. You just think they either have it or you don't.
Know, they got to show.
Like that's easy. That's exactly the easiest thing in the world. Just throw guys out there. Well, there's no strategy behind that.
That's what frustrates me so much. Have we not learned it already? That throwing guys out there has never worked for us. It's never, ever, 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 ever worked for us. Just throwing a guy out there has always either backfired or just been a non-starter to begin with.
And then, if that's the case, is it that people think that the fifth round pick, 144th overall in Shedeur Sanders, is just magically more ready than any fifth round pick in the history of football, a fourth round pick, a third round pick? Because those guys never get to just start.
Yeah.
Unless there's a cavalcade of injuries before them. There's always somebody already on the roster who you have used more assets to go get, right? Or more valuable assets.
Yes.
You've either traded for somebody or you've taken them earlier in this draft or the previous draft or the previous draft. Like those guys come in with an advantage. So what is it about Shedeur? Do you think that just the whole league missed out on Shedeur five times over? Is that what it is?
I think for the people who really, really love Shedeur, yes. And then he ended up with the organization that a lot of people think is not knowing what they have in front of them. And so he ends up with the Browns. No matter what any of us want to say, there's definitely there's something that follows the Browns around the country. Okay? So he ends up with the organization that nobody trusts. So they don't trust the organization to evaluate him properly. So now, if he's still third on the depth chart, and he's behind Dillon Gabriel, which a lot of people, I mean, you're talking Pac-12 after dark. I know he played at UCF, and I know he played at Oklahoma, but you're talking Pac-12 after dark, even though he's in the Big Ten, and they played in the playoffs, for crying out loud, but you play at a time for a lot of people not to see you, and he comes in, and already you have a guy who's nowhere near as popular as Shedeur Sanders. They're going to think that the Browns are bungling this. Yes. Yes, they are. They're not paying attention to it every day. They don't see it every day. The Browns, for all we know, and if we're all saying that Kevin Stefanski, if anything, he's supposed to be good with a quarterback. If you don't believe that he's supposed to be good with a quarterback, then yeah, then you believe that they are messing him up. They are messing up Shedeur Sanders and not giving him a proper shot. If you believe that Kevin Stefanski, if he's good at anything, is actually decent with quarterbacks, and you don't put any of the Deshaun Watson stuff on Kevin Stefanski, then you are saying that Shedeur Sanders is being handled properly And now he has his opportunity to really start to show something because Kenny is not going to be available here for a period of time. I don't know how long it's going to be. Could be a few days, could be a few weeks. I don't know. Didn't seem to be too promising with what just was tweeted yesterday from Adam Schefter. So if you're not going to have Kevin or Kenny Pickett to your disposal, then Shador's going to get an opportunity. And by the end of the week, this could all just be hot air. Maybe he has separated himself by the end of the week. Maybe there is a wildfire conversation from the national media, depending on what we saw with Shador Sanders. If anything, guys, now starts his opportunity.
Yeah,
a camp injury can really start his opportunity to show that, hey, all this other conversation goes away. I can spin it. I can play. I can learn. Put me in as at least the backup of the quarterback, backup quarterback of the Cleveland Browns. Mike and if I just thing ain't working. Mike and Akron, you're next up on the Fan. Hello.
Hey guys, thanks for taking my call.
Glad to have you, Mike.
First off, I think that kind of what they're doing right now is right. I think they kind of humbled Shador at the beginning, right? And now they're building him back up. But you guys keep on saying the Browns know what they're doing. When have the Browns had success in a quarterback room? Ever. I mean, ever.
But how can so I – how many times – Mike, hold on, Mike. How many times can I say it's the Browns' fault?
It's always the Browns' fault. They ran out Baker. They traded the farm for Deshaun Watson. They had no success with Deshaun Watson. And every time that he started to have success, he ran into injury.
Baker himself admitted that he was not in the right headspace. Okay?
I agree. Baker put it on himself today.
Baker, he's definitely not the same quarterback. He's much more mature. I wish we had him now. All right? On record, definitely, Mike. Okay, they went and they got Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson was already probably used up by that time, and we didn't even realize it. That's a miss by them. But again, do we blame Deshaun Watson or do we blame the Browns for not doing what they can to support Deshaun Watson? I don't think anybody blames the Browns for not changing almost anything they could to make Deshaun Watson work out. I certainly don't. Do you?
No, but the thing is that they have not had any success. So having faith in this organization to develop a quarterback, and I don't think anybody in this city would ever vote for Andrew Berry to have two first-round picks next year and to be able to pick a quarterback. We just can't do it. So my thing is what Orlovsky said is play the two rookies because I think that nobody here wants to wake up on Sunday to see Joe Flacco throw three interceptions and us be a mediocre team. God forbid we win six or seven games, like you said earlier, best case scenario, 7-10, and blow our entire draft capital. I would much rather have a rookie play and figure it out.
Do you care if the rookie looks ready at all? Based on the joint practices, if these guys look over their heads against Philadelphia in a joint practice,
absolutely. I think you're right because I don't want them to go out there just absolutely blow. But my thing is though is that I would much rather have a rookie quarterback out there playing. And I'm a Shador Sanders fan, but if Dylan Gabriel beats him out, I don't care. I need a quarterback, right? But right now, I have no faith in the organization whatsoever. I think they're playing for their careers right now. I don't want to see this. I don't want to see Andrew Berry or Stefanski back next year if we're drafting a rookie quarterback, period.
All right, Mike, thank you very much for the call. 216-474-0092. So there's definitely people who disagree with us. All right, do you believe that the Browns, not we, but are the Browns sabotaging Shador Sanders? Hell, even Dylan Gabriel for that moment. Should this just be open and shut? I think it should be. I think that now that Kenny Pickett is, and we'll see the severity of the injury, but now that he has an injured hamstring, I can only go on what I know. What I know is from the Adam Schefter report, it's not very promising. I would say that Joe Flacco is the starter. Am I just going with the old guy instead of going with common sense? To you. Yeah, I'm starting to convince myself this is the golden week that Shador Sanders has to really strut his stuff.
Breakout week?
I think it's up to him. It's up to the Browns. Now, maybe I'll say by the end of the week, they have not provided him the proper opportunity to strut his stuff. Now, I don't know how long Kenny Pickett's going to be out. Do we have any update on that? How long Kenny
Just
Pickett might be out?
Just when he's going to be reevaluated.
End of the week reevaluation is all it said.
Okay.
So
that means he ain't practicing this week, right?
They practice Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. They're off Thursday. They practice Friday, Saturday.
Oh. The media is going to be there for that. You have the Hall of Fame game Thursday, right?
Correct.
You have the Hall of Fame game Thursday. which I should know whether or not, but I'm not going to say it out loud. I'm waiting for a text from Keith about the Hall of Fame game. So I'm not going to say that out loud yet.
What do you mean?
Playing on it?
No. Are we carrying it?
Oh.
I don't know if we are or not. I would assume so, but I don't. They changed around the studio.
The studio's changed.
So I don't know where the schedule is. And so Keith is going to shake his head at me because I'm an idiot and I don't know whether or not we're playing it. So whether or not we're playing it, are we playing the Hall of Fame game? I'm making such a big deal about it now, we better be carrying it. Anyway, they have the Hall of Fame game on Thursday. Then they have the inductions on Saturday, right? Right. The parade and everything Saturday morning. So you have all that. If you have all that then, Tone, national media is going to be in town. National media in town, you have your chance on Wednesday to show your stuff, to strut your stuff in front of everybody, and then on Friday, and then a little bit on Saturday, because, you know, now Saturday that, they're going to be in Canton.
Now, that is that could be some real, that's a real pressure moment.
There you go.
That if you're the Browns, you love. You yes. absolutely love. You shouldn't run away from that.
I mean, he's had
you
major celebrities on the sideline before. That. He should be able to embrace it. Yeah.
Now, what's the rap? The rap on him's been in his biggest games against his best opponents, he has faltered. Right? That's been the one rap on him.
I think it's mostly because he hasn't had a great team around him other than a couple of players.
Me and you have defended him.
Yes.
But I can't deny that that's been the bit when we've had callers call up trashing Shador before the draft. Don't take him early. And of course, nobody took him early. That's been one of the biggest issues that people have called up. They said, did you see him against real teams?
But these are better programs. So against real teams, like BYU is a much better program here over the last couple of years. Nebraska, Matt Rule, better program. Better program. Okay, Colorado, we'll see what they do after now that Shador's gone and now that Travis Hunter's gone. But you have Joe Horn, Shador Sanders, Travis Hunter, a makeshift offensive line. That was better his second year, too. Yeah, you're not going to play as well against better programs. You're not going to do that. So I don't go against that. Now, if he goes out there and he just starts throwing ducks all over the place, then, we'll know he's QB3, and then that's going to be the end of it. I don't think that they would cut him if he's still throwing ducks all over the place, because I do think that there is some cachet there. I do think that they want to make sure all the stones are unturned. I just wouldn't guarantee him a spot to actually go out there and play. You know, again, when we keep saying, we got to see what he's got, do we really? It's a 17-game schedule. We will eventually, I'm sure, see what he's got, if anything. And it's the same thing for Dillon Gabriel. But if they're not ready to go out there and conduct an offense and defend themselves and to give the Browns the best chance to win in any certain game on this football team, which is as wide open a competition as you could find after this injury, then, I mean, what the hell? Then I guess I don't need to see him. Chris in California, you're next up on the Fan. Hello, Chris.
Hey, good morning, guys. What's going on?
Good morning to you, Chris. Chris is listening on the Free Odyssey app. Chris, go right on ahead.
Hey, this is for Dan Orlovsky. Dan, you're a career bum. You're trash, bro. So your take is trash, all right? So I believe the injury is a farce for Kenny Pickett. I feel like it's just to make room for Shador Sanders to get reps. The best quarterback.
Why would Kenny Pickett go
reckless
along with
speculation?
Because he has no say. The NFL is bigger than one person. The NFL is bigger than one person.
Wait, walk me through how this one works. So the Browns tell him, hey, we're going to lie to everybody that you're injured. And he says, okay, let me tell my agent and my family, and this is my last big chance to really start in the NFL. Okay, we're going to go along with it. We're going to go ahead like and go with that plot.
Just like Pittsburgh went ahead and said that he was in he didn't want to dress against Seattle, which he addressed that to the media, which that became a fluky report as well. So it's just to make any reporter look good. Again, Dan Orlovsky, you're a bum. Your career is a bum. And you as an analyst is a bum. Like, who takes a safety that gives their own team a safety in the back of the end zone?
He did do that. Yeah, he ran out of the back of the end zone. I remember that.
Yeah.
All
so
right.
His take
excellent
is trash.
Yep. No, let me see. I don't need to defend Kenny, these guys.
Kenny,
what, Chris?
I'm in your corner, dog. You know,
I want to hear more about this corner.
Yes, you guys should allow.
I'm in Kenny's corner.
But hold on.
The NFL versus Kenny.
That's right.
It's Chris and Kenny versus the NFL. So let's get it, Kenny.
Okay, Chris, thank you very
much. I want to hear more.
Are taking him out. Wait, Kenny and Chris.
Is he in my corner or is he in Kenny Pickett's corner?
He is in your corner and Kenny Pickett's corner. You guys are all in the same corner with Chris.
But guys, I disagree.
Just shouting from the mountain.
There have absolutely been pundits who are former players that I do not respect. However, I'm not going to rip their careers. Dan Orlovsky, whether we want to sit there and make fun of him running out of the back of the end zone or not, guys, he played at a much higher level than any of us on the microphone here, okay? Unless Joe Thomas or somebody wants to call in and then rip Dan Orlovsky, I can't rip Dan Orlovsky for his professional football career. Like, we were getting I don't know why, but I got an influx of nasty social media messages directed at a guy in Pittsburgh. That guy, whether he was on a P squad in the NFL or dressed in the NFL, was still at a much higher level. If I have a problem with that guy's opinion, I'll rip the guy's opinion. I'll rip maybe the work ethic if I know or not know what he's actually watching or actually doing. But I'm not going to rip their career. I'm not going to rip Dan Orlovsky's career. Just because Dan Orlovsky, by the way, I'm sure Dan Orlovsky made a lot of money, and it doesn't seem like Dan Orlovsky's a bad guy whatsoever. So if Dan Orlovsky, who from what I know of, seems to be a decent enough guy, maybe I'll change that opinion someday, I have no idea. I'm not going to rip his career.
Yeah, but I want to go back to the Kenny Pickett fake injury thing and how that makes any sense.
That's just nuts.
Also,
come on.
Career earnings for Dan Orlovsky, $12.6 million.
That's a lot of damn money. And if that's
I think he's made more at ESPN. He's made more at ESPN than that.
He has, yeah. He probably has.
And future earnings.
And we do know this. Some of the best coaches that have ever coached are not really good players. Did Belichick didn't play past high school, did he?
No, he got into coaching right now.
Yeah.
So went to be the ball boy for Navy.
See, now I feel bad. Dan Orlovsky wouldn't care at all, and now I feel bad. I don't want to perpetuate that is what I'm saying. If I felt that Dan Orlovsky was lazy or something like that, maybe I would take a shot at Dan Orlovsky.
He just had a point that we disagreed with. I didn't think you had to take it much further than that.
Well, I think that when he says that, going back to the clip, you want to play the clip again from what Orlovsky said on Afternoon
that
Drive?
That caller just said?
No, not that what the caller just said, but what Dan Orlovsky said on Afternoon Drive.
Yeah, we can do that.
Go ahead.
Both of them would be the rookies. I would be doing everything if I was Cleveland to see if one of those two kids I drafted could be a starter this year. And then you have the opportunity to evaluate, is he a starting quarterback or is he not a starting quarterback? Is he a starting quarterback that we can win games with? Because then that maybe changes the way you view those two first-round picks for next year.
Is he saying you got to play the rookies then? Because they could be doing everything they can to prepare Dylan Gabriel. As Daryl had said at 8:20, they could be doing everything they can to prepare Dylan Gabriel to be a starter at some point this season.
Listening to that clip, I didn't really even disagree with that clip.
The disagreement was before that he said, take the over on the Browns win total. And how can you take the over and then also say, play only rookies at quarterback?
That was my issue at 6:20 this morning.
Especially rookies that were third and fifth round picks. That normally is a losing formula in NFL history, with the exception of one guy recently, and that's Brock Purdy.
Yes. But again, other things said, but I think you're right.
He also had to be on the most talented team in the league or the second most talented team in the league.
He also had to have other guys that weren't ready to take that. I mean, you look at the point made with Trey Lance.
Mm-hmm.
Where Trey Lance got picked number 3 overall, and he had every reason to be put out there. And Kyle Shanahan did not put him out there. He wasn't ready to go. Brock Purdy was ready to go. See, I'm glad you brought him up. That's the only argument I'm making with everybody. Whether you love Shedeur Sanders or hate Shedeur Sanders, you can't tell me that you're not curious about what he's going to do. Whether you love, I don't know why you'd hate Dylan Gabriel, but if you love or hate Dylan Gabriel, yeah, it's okay to be curious about what these two guys could do. But I don't think that the Browns are going out of their way to sabotage either one of these guys, certainly not Dylan Gabriel, and sir, I really don't believe Shedeur Sanders because of the pressure that's on him, because of the fan base, because of the dad. So I don't think that they're going out of their way to sabotage either one of these guys. Who's to say they're not doing this already? But there's a difference between preparing them to be ready to play at some point and them actually being ready to play. Because I could do everything I can to get a guy ready to put Shedeur Sanders in the right position or Dylan Gabriel in the right position. I can do anything I can to get those guys ready. But if I'm not comfortable with putting them out there on the field and my coaching staff isn't comfortable and the veterans aren't necessarily comfortable with it, then he ain't going to play out there. I'll get somebody off the scrap heap then if he's not ready to go. I'm not just going to do what we did with so many other guys and just throw them out there because, well, we got to see what we got. If they can't be on this team starting, then we already know what we got. And what we already got would be nothing, and then we're definitely using the two first-round picks next year on a quarterback. And even going with the crazy Colin Cowherd stuff, which isn't even that crazy because it's the Cleveland Browns, a team that traded three first-round picks and gave guaranteed money to Deshaun Watson, a team that traded for Odell Beckham Jr., which Odell Beckham Jr. worked out for a season, let's be honest there, a team that's not afraid to make strong moves. Yeah, you're telling me about Saban and Jimmy Sexton and the Mannings and Jimmy Haslam and all that going around and that could possibly be next year. Yeah, nothing's crazy. Nothing's off the deck. 216-474-0092. The only argument that I think is really there isn't starter anymore. Unless you believe that Joe Flacco just should not be guaranteed the starting job. After this injury, I think Joe Flacco should be guaranteed the starting job. I think my open competition right now, and I think we've only just begun, is who the backup is. Who the primary backup is. And I'm telling you right now, with what this team is and isn't, not a contender, they are an open position. They are an open job right now. Shedeur Sanders better take this as an opportunity. This is the door opening for him.
This is huge.
This is huge for him. It should be huge for Dylan Gabriel. It should be huge for Dylan Gabriel because I think a lot of people, and you might not like hearing this, I think a lot of people believe that he's definitely the guy who would be the leader in that spot. They love his head. I think the veterans, they go, man, he's smart. He's kind of got to figure it out. We'll figure out more with John Greco coming up tomorrow morning with that. But I think a lot of people would feel that around the organization, that Dylan Gabriel kind of knows it, this is their opportunity to cement themselves down as I'm the number two. It's your job now, if you are Dylan Gabriel or Shedeur Sanders, to make this week off really hurt Kenny Pickett. To make it where you don't even need to bother. He's not your Sam Darnold. He's not your Geno Smith. I'm your guy after Joe. Put me in this position. It could be a very big week for either one of these two young men. And it could be a very big, and not just this week, it could be a very big next week as well. When you go to Carolina, you have the joint practice as well on Wednesday. You have the preseason game on Friday. Because when you have the preseason game, now one of these two guys are going to, is Joe Flacco going to play in that preseason game? Okay, so you could see a scenario now where Dylan Gabriel plays the first half and Shedeur Sanders plays the second half. Am I wrong?
Yeah.
Okay. So now you're really cooking with something there. If Shedeur does well, I don't care. If it's against third and fourth string guys,
he's going to get
opportunity.
If Shedeur
does well
now.
In the second half, then you're going to have that conversation.
This is opened up for him. I get it if you don't trust the Browns. I get it if you, like me, did not understand their setup going into all of this. It does open up a little bit, and now Shedeur absolutely has to take advantage of it. Kenny, you're right. Has to pounce.
He has
this
to.
Could be.
He
and
has
you're right.
To.
The national people, this will be the time they are there. Because they haven't really been there yet. Now they're going to be here because of Canton, because of the Hall of Fame
Do
stuff.
You disagree with your own statement then you made at 6 o'clock?
Well, here's the part that you make a compelling case.
Thank you.
The part that I disagree with is it isn't.
You disagree with me or your previous statement?
The stuff, I remember Mike Greenberg said the biggest story of the offseason. Right? The biggest story is going to be Shedeur Sanders with the Browns. It hasn't. It flat out has not been a huge story. I listened to talking heads all over the place. Shedeur has been like the least talked about of a lot of these rookies, right? I've heard so much more about other guys. So
since camp started?
Well, part of it is because he's been four string. How are you going to talk about a four stringer on one of the worst teams in football?
Well, because
like, what's
before,
the story there?
Before camp started, I think he was a story. Him and Shamar Stewart and Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, okay. I do think all two.
TJ Watt.
Two. SEO, right?
Yeah.
The engagement stuff.
Yes.
Like, you know, if you just mention Shedeur, but it's not based in reality, right? The only reason some of the talking heads, and they're predictable, were bringing this stuff up was because they wanted to capitalize with views and all of that. Now that we're getting into training camp and everything, like so far on the way back to Chicago, I was listening to some of the big football podcasts. I didn't hear Shedeur's name once. In fact, most of what I heard was Browns are a last place team. Bet on the Browns under. Bet on the Browns to finish last and you know, tease that. parlay that, I should say, with other bad situations. Like, I haven't really heard much about Shador at all
to
this point.
It's not that that's wrong. I don't know how good they're going to be either. But I think that we live in different worlds. They're in a world where they have to try to win because you never know what's going to happen in the future. But I think in our world, it's going, then why are we even having this big conversation on who should start? Because if you're one of the people who go, my job's not on the line, I want to see what these guys have, then Joe Flacco at 40 years old ain't going to get anybody going.
No, I totally get that.
So I think we got to be a little bit careful about that. Ladies and gentlemen, Lima took care of me over the weekend. So I've never had it, and it's like an online thing. I go, well, if I've never had it, I've been to Chicago with you, and we never tried it. I didn't even know it was a thing until Owen told me what it was, to be honest with you. That was like, what, like 4 or 5 months ago?
Yeah, it's been less than a calendar year, but yeah.
Owen told me about this, and I'm like, what? And he goes, oh, you don't know what that is? And I go, no. And now Lima has finally went to Chicago, and he came back with it. Ladies and gentlemen, in my hand, I hold a bottle of Jepson's Malort, which is a liqueur. And I've seen nothing but YouTube videos of this booze, which it's nothing but people who don't like it.
Literally in their marketing, if you go to their website, they have two people cringing after taking a sip.
Are you serious?
And that is their lead image on their website. It's not a drink for most people, but we're not most people.
It says, may we suggest, Malort has the aroma and full-bodied flavor of an unusual botanical. Its bitter taste is savored by two-fisted drinkers. Is that people who carry something in each hand?
I believe they use each of their fists.
Double fisting.
To have a drink.
So it's like, here you go, Lushy. Put this down your throat. You're going to love that. It's 70 proof. Now, I know I'm not allowed to drink on the air. Mm-hmm. I know that's like a no. Is that an FCC no-no, or was that a Tom no-no?
Probably a little column A,
we'll
column B.
Certainly 9:45 a.m. no-no.
Because you're supposed to be responsible when you are sharing the public airwaves.
Correct.
All right. I mean, I'm going to try it. So I'll probably try it Friday. Let everybody know. You got me a whole fifth. How much did it set you back?
I think it was like $30.
$30?
$32, whatever.
Do I owe you?
No. No, this was a treat.
I'd get you into a bottle of Buffalo Trace and have a couple dollars left over for that.
That's crazy. $33 for this.
People were horrified when some of my sister's friends, I said, hey, I got to get over to the liquor store or wherever. And I told them what I was getting. They said, oh, no, you can't possibly be bringing that back. They were like, is this a gag? I'm like, well, kind of.
Yeah.
But the funny thing is, I don't think I've had it either, or if I did, well, it was a late night thing.
You don't remember the
years
experience.
Ago, and I don't remember
there
the experience.
I had a couple of longtime Clevelanders. When I said, like, man, I've never tried Malort, and I think I'm going to try it. And I had a lot of people saying, you're crazy. Don't try it. This is since 1933. So this is what, right at the beginning of the end of Prohibition? The end of Prohibition, right at the end? They were like, well, let's start making this. Oh, which probably means they're already making it somewhere. So you have this. What I had a lot of people, they were emailing me, texting me, tweeting at me that you can get this as a shot at certain bars.
Oh,
here.
Oh, I had no idea.
I said that's not the authentic thing. Now, the authentic thing for me were to me to go to Chicago and try it. I'm not going to do that. I just wanted you to bring me back a bottle. So, because I'll have a bottle and I'm sure I'm going to take one drink of it. Wish I never did, I'm guessing. And then I'm going to just have it as a conversation piece.
Because it's defined as a liqueur.
Liqueur.
Is there something you can mix it with? If you try this and
gasoline.
You're like, oh my God, this is horrendous. Is there anything we can throw it in with
make
it palatable?
Look at that. I'm on their website right now trying to figure out the Prohibition. So it actually did start during Prohibition.
It did?
The original formula.
Probably out of a bathtub.
And then,
Was it supposed to be like medicinal use?
Yes, correct. That was, I've listened to a podcast on Prohibition. They were actually, the government was producing alcohols that they didn't want you to drink because they were poisoned, so you wouldn't drink them. And guess what people did? They still drank them anyway. That's why we had to end Prohibition.
You look at a bottle of liquor.
Also, I need to get through my Sundays.
I look at a bottle of liquor, and like there's bottles on here, like, oh boy, I bet that tastes good. Like if you like certain, if you like whiskey or whatever, oh man, I bet that tastes good. This does not look attractive. It does not look like an attractive drink. But I don't want to tell myself that I'm not going to like it, because what do we say about taste all the time? If it looks good and smells good, you're going
to
like it.
You'll psych yourself out. Yeah. You know, I used to do that when we were in the very big shot-taking phase of my young drinking life. Yeah. You'd psych yourself out. You hear so much about something. The one was 151.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, you suck
you just hear out. So much we about did. It. And my gag reflex was such that it was going to be tough to stomach it.
A lot of Everclear when I was in the younger years, because it did its job effectively at a price that
a
few people could get together and handle.
Should I save this?
I found you a couple cocktails here.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, what do we got?
The Malort Highball, which is Malort, tequila, lime juice, orange juice, and ginger beer.
All right.
Or a Malort Spritz, which sounds fantastic on a summer day, right? It's got lime juice and grape soda water.
Is it cheating if it's cold? Like if I throw it in the freezer and I bring it out of the freezer and I try it on Friday night, will it be cheating if it's cold, or do I have to take it at like room temperature?
I think you're going to be looking for any way to dress this up when all is said and done.
I'm actually getting nervous looking at it.
By the way, 30 miles in Indiana, one lane.
Yeah.
Holy cow.
I told you, I saw that.
What a nightmare.
I follow a lot of truckers on Instagram, and they keep posting about it. What they drive from Indiana.
And this is going to take like the whole year. So I look, there's not really a great way to avoid it.
Nope.
If you're making the drive. Mm-hmm. And it makes me think next time I might have to fly just because of that stretch.
Just have to deal with it.
It added a good 45 minutes, and had traffic been worse, it could have been full over an hour.
So you're telling me it's good that I can't. Liz won't allow me to go to a Notre Dame game in 2025.
Yeah, because this is between Notre Dame and the border.
Okay, never mind. Well, then I'll go in 2026.
You need the private jet. You need Baskin's friends to come through.
Well, Friday, I didn't know Baskin August had those 8th, friends. The Cleveland Guardians are in Chicago to take on the White Sox. They'll be there for a 4-game set over the weekend.
That was the other thing when I was there. The first thing I did, let's look for Cubs games, because I'm going to have some idle time on Thursday when I got in. And, of course, they were off. And then the next day, they were in Chicago to take on the White Sox at the White Sox Stadium.
Oh,
no chance.
Down to Wrigley.
There was so no chance. And the funny thing is, like, my sister is, you know, by where everything is.
You want to go see the big cubicle?
But it's quicker to get to the White Sox Stadium from her place.
Right off the highway.
Because of the freeway situation than it is to get to Wrigleyville. There was zero desire to go see that stadium unless I got to watch it in the booth with our buddy.
John Shriffin. Yep.
Then it's a different story.
Can I give you one more reason here?
Let's go.
I got to finish it with some.
Let's go.
My final reason why I want Joe Flacco just to start the season, and that's it. When we had Daryl on, and he's talking to us about Quinshon Judkins, and hearing what Andrew Berry had to say about Quinshon Judkins, or the lack of really anything that they can say about Quinshon Judkins because the situation has to play out, I need a veteran to go out there. And I thought when you take a guy like that, your goal is to be able to, hey, when in doubt on first and 10, we can hand off the ball. Let's get 4 yards. Let's make first and 10, second and 6, and let's manage. That was your goal. Now, you could still possibly, what?
Are you saying that could be gone now?
Yeah. I don't know when the guy's going to be able to play. So now I'm going to have to, how am I going to move the football? So we might be right back to square one. Hey, you were a one-dimension offense with Joe Flacco in 2023. You couldn't really run the ball. So now I'll have Joe Flacco back. I'll start the season with him. I don't know how long it'll last. And maybe Dylan Sampson's going to be the type of guy that you can just hand the ball off to, and that'll be it. Maybe he will be that guy. Maybe I'm not thinking that much about Dylan Sampson, and I should be. But this is a big hit to whatever offensive plans that you were trying to do. And to have that happen to you right as you're starting the season, it's like, let me take the guy who has experience to start things off. Then I know what I have. I will have seen Dylan Sampson in an NFL offense. I already know what I have in Jerome Ford, who should be a third down back. I will have seen Dylan Sampson in an offense. And then, okay, how would Dylan or Shador work with this guy?
Can I ask you a question?
You what?
Do you care how Nick Chubb looks?
Yes. Why?
People sending me one run. It was run one Nick Chubb run that the Texans put out. And
you're
I was like, all right, look fine.
You're not tricking me into doing it. It ain't going to happen. I know what you're trying to do, and it ain't going to happen.
I'm just saying.
No, because you know that I was getting texts before the show, and you want to try to get me to say that on and be public about it. It ain't going to happen. It's not going to happen.